Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Wherever you are, however you're listening, across North America on the radio, around the world on the internet, some of you are listening over subspace frequency, waiting on the mothership to bring me back. Whatever you're doing, we're glad you're here. And Roger Lowenstein is with us. He's a new friend. We're glad he's here, too. He's the author of three best-selling books. He's a former reporter for my favorite newspaper on the planet, the Wall Street Journal. And he currently is a regular contributor to the New York Times Magazine, Smart Money, and Portfolio. He's got a new book out called While America Aged. Very important topic, something that is really a cautionary tale. I consider what he covers about the 20th century to be a cautionary tale for the 21st century. Let's get him in here. Roger Lowenstein, welcome to the show.
Jim, it's really a pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book. It's a scary book.
Thank you. You know, you said the 20th century and the 21st century. The 20th century was really just a warm-up because, you know, although we had some real pension explosions, which is, of course, what the book's about, those tales, it's in the years to come when the demographic numbers are going to tilt. And those scenarios I talked about in the book, you know, what did in GM,
yep,
what did in San Diego, and so on.
United Airlines.
More and more the norm across the country in the years to come.
Well, you know,
the aging of the country.
When a small business, I've seen financial statements over the years, balance sheets for small businesses, where they had posted the accountants had put a contingent liability on the balance sheet, and this was a retirement exposure that the company had made a promise to an employee or two employees or whatever, and they had those contingent liabilities, and there's no way to know, and it really freaks the bankers out when they see that, because there's no way to know how big that number could get, because you don't know how long the people are going to live. And so what's happened, though, is as I was holding those financial statements, you know, 15, 20 years ago, that was a contingent liability because the person was still working there. But we don't have a contingent liability. It's not contingent anymore, is it?
I'm guessing that those were referred to retiree health care. And those are contingent. And,
No. In this particular case, this was actual retirement commitment that the company made, but they didn't.
If it's a pension, then it's not contingent. If it's a pension,
yeah.
What I was going to say is you can't walk away,
right,
from a pension. It is, and you know, there's a good reason for it. You can imagine, somebody works for a company, small business or large business, their whole career, and then at the end of the road, they said, "Well, just kidding, we didn't really mean it."
Yeah.
So the law is very clear. But, you know, what that means is, and that's state and that's public and private systems, what that means is if you have a plan, you've got to fund it. And you can't just wait till the fellow gal retires and then say, gee, I guess I got to live up to this. And this is the kind of short-sightedness when plans have not been funding, their pension plans.
It's so one of the things, like, for example, with General Motors, and also we didn't mention United Airlines. I mean, they had an issue with this too, didn't they?
Well, they had an issue. They went bankrupt, they went bankrupt with $7-8 billion in the hole to their pension fund, which the federal guarantor had to pick up. And
right.
United did what everyone is tempted to do. They're in trouble. It was tough business, and rather than make their required contributions, they said, I need this to pay pilots. I need this to buy new aircraft. I need this to get some more landing slots. Whatever. Mm-hmm. And they gambled, and when you have insured pensions, the gamble is, heads I win, tails the insurer loses. And,
right,
so naturally they used the money they were supposed to put into the fund to gamble, which is wrong.
How big is this problem, Roger?
Well, on the private side, there's some $300 billion underfunding and by companies.
And when you say private, you mean commercial entities, right?
I'm just saying free enterprise, you know, not
right.
government.
Not government.
Publicly
right.
owned.
Okay.
And this is going to hit us in two ways. Many of these companies are terminating their plans. The federal government could get stuck with the debts of the companies that go bust. Many of these companies, though, even sound companies such as IBM, Hewlett-Packard, are freezing their plans, and mm-hmm. people are going to wind up with no pensions. Which in
many
fact,
of them have converted over to 401ks, haven't they?
They have, but in the private sector, we're down to 1 out of 5 people have a pension, and the amount of money in 401ks is sort of sad. It's the median family has $31,000, so mm-hmm. you know, that's not every year. That's total. Mm-hmm. You try to retire on that. On the public side, that is states and governments, you know, localities and so on, we're roughly $1 trillion in the hole, and that's money the taxpayers will have to come up with. They're really going to get walloped. And, you know, states like Illinois, New Jersey,
state and
California.
Just the states are $1 trillion, did you say?
States and localities.
And local, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they are... They have really been the worst at making promises now and saying, well, we'll fund them later. And then, you know, there's a parallel problem. The third leg of this is the federal program, Social
right.
Security, Medicare, which, you know, this is some problems come out of nowhere. This has been the most advertised, you know, we've been hearing about this for a
right.
long time. And, you know, did you know that by 2019, which is a decade away, Medicare is going to be broke?
Well, exactly. And another thing is, you know, we hear everybody talking about, not everybody, but a lot of people like John McCain and others are talking about we got to hold down spending. But the truth is the percentage of spending by the federal government's budget that Congress has any control over is a minority of the total dollars. I mean, something like 20%, and the rest of it's already committed based on Social Security.
These two programs alone right now are about 7% of the GDP, and the whole government's 18%. Within a generation, they're going to be up to 13-14, so they're going to be
mm-hmm.
the government within one generation is going to be converted basically into a retirees transfer agency. And I'm glad you brought up McCain, because there's only two solutions Washington has, you know, for this problem. And that'll leave nothing for everything else. Well, you know, one is to trim benefits, and the other is to raise taxes. And you can stand on your head. You can do whatever you want. That's it. And
everybody keeps coming back to that one thing. But then you've got some, Roger, who want to to turn health care, 17% of our GDP, 17%, into the government's responsibility by making universal health care. And, you know, I don't see how that's a good idea. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Roger Lowenstein is our guest. His book is called While America Aged. We're going to see if he's got any solutions for us on the other side of these messages.
Well, I was moving down the road in my VA4. I had a shine on my boots. I had my...
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. A little music from that little band in Texas. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us and use our stuff. Roger Lowenstein is with us. He's a new friend, soon-to-be old friend. He's the author of While America Aged, among other books. This is his new one. Roger, tell us where your book's available, please.
It's available, you know, any website, Borders, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, any bookstore. It's all over. So
all over the place.
It's got a picture on it of a man with his head in the sand. You won't miss it.
Yeah, absolutely. Roger, one of the things that we also didn't bring up was the health care commitment.
Let me
throw one stat out here before you do that.
All right.
Within the last 24 months, one of the stats that's pretty much been accepted is that every time General Motors sells an automobile, $1,600 of that sale price of the total, not the profit, but of the revenue, has to go to fund retiree health care. Is that a correct number? Not current employees, retiree health care.
That's right. Now, there's an interesting story behind that, which I tell in the book. But briefly, after the war, Walter Reuther realized pensions, health care. That was first in his agenda as the head of the UAW, United Auto Workers. He realized this was something the companies ultimately wouldn't be able to afford. He went to them and said, let's go down together, fight in Washington together for benefits for all working, all Americans for these benefits. Companies didn't want any part of it. Ruther said, fine, we'll get it from you guys. And over the years, the union got, you know, greater and greater benefits,
right,
which the companies could sustain when there are only three of them in America.
Okay? Right.
Because you went into the showroom, if you wanted the tail fins, you got the pension,
right,
and health care, whether you liked it or not. Once foreign competition came in, their plans became uncompetitive, and it bankrupted GM and the others, and, you know, virtually. I mean,
Ford just didn't take bankruptcy. Well, they sold buildings and property that they'd owned for 60 years outright to keep them going bankrupt.
Yeah, but if you look at their stock prices, they haven't had any net gain in 30 or 40 years. They've been disastrous. All the profits have gone to the retirees. So, look, I don't think that's a way to run if it doesn't work for GM, I don't see how it's going to work for, you know, for small business. You know, even Starbucks spends more on health care than on coffee beans.
Right.
So
what do we do about all this, Roger?
Well, you know, I would have just extend Medicare to the whole country, but I would do it on a sliding. I would get less of it, less the economic benefit to people with means. But is there a reason why we have one health care policy where if you're over 65 and another if you're under, and one if you work for one type of company with a plan and another if you don't? You know, the federal government is already involved.
So you're saying universal retirement?
Have the, not retirement, the health care.
And not
the government providing it. The government financed it. Everybody gets a tax credit for health care of some amount.
That's
what John McCain proposes, by the way.
Slow down just a second. You're not proposing that the government take over the health care for everybody, all ages.
Not at all. I'm saying the government gives everyone a voucher and says spend this on health care where you want.
Yeah.
If you spend more than a certain amount, that's on you. But what the government right now does is if you work for a company with a health care plan, General Electric, okay, that benefit's free. It's not taxed. You get a break from the government. If you work for General somebody else that doesn't have health care, you don't get a break. Why should the government give breaks to some people, not to others? Okay, what I'm saying is, just like the government, in effect, gives you a voucher to take to a public school or, you know, that's how I'd run a public education system. You can take it to any school you want, private, public, no difference, but the government would be a financer. Let 100 flowers bloom. Same thing in health care, but, you know,
you're not talking about at retirement, though, are you?
I'm talking about the whole
right now.
Birth.
Yeah,
take care of these 47 million without health care and make it on a basis so that everybody gets a certain amount. If they spend more than that, you know, it's on them, so that there's some incentive to save.
Yeah. Well, I've got a better answer to the health care thing, and that's that's small business health plans. Small business health plans. Let health savings accounts flourish. Don't increase the burden on health savings account, which the government's trying to do right now, and provide small business owners with the ability to buy insurance, the same health insurance, the same way that GM and UAW are able to buy across state lines. Roger, you give small business owners that ability, and it will change your 10 years from now. You'll be looking back and you'll say, you know what? We solved a lot of that problem, and the government didn't have to get involved.
Mm-hmm. You mean by health savings accounts?
Small business health plans allow small business owners to buy across state lines, so they're not restricted to how they, you know, they can actually band together in groups, and also health savings accounts let them flourish, not to be restrictive.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see, huh? You know, the amount of money in retirement accounts is so small. Most people don't have savings to put into savings accounts. So I just don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, this is something
big that are needed.
Well, no, you're right about that, and I do agree with a lot of the stuff you're saying. We have got a big problem that we're going to have to fix. I'm not sure that letting the government do it is the answer, but we'll see. And I'll invite you back again, and we'll continue this discussion if you'll come back.
Oh, Jim, I'd love to. I'd really love to.
Roger Lowenstein, ladies and gentlemen, the book is called While America Aged. He and I will continue this debate as time goes on, I promise. Quick break, right back with Tom Travis after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.